What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Veritex Community Bank Studios, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Batter tied with Max Scherzer for 12th all-time in the strikeout list. And he is now number 12 by himself, strikeout number 6. 31-94 in his career as Verlander strikes out Dearling.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how are we doing?
That's Brandon. I'm Brad.
Why are you laughing before I even started?
It's a Wednesday edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. B-Mac is filling in as the producer today for Brendan, who's filling in for Blankers today, who's spending some time with his family. I'm laughing because it was horrible. It was a horrible rendition.
No. Well, sure. I'm not going to argue that, but you were laughing before I said a word.
Well, I knew it was going to be horrible.
I did tell you.
You were setting him up to fail and then laughing before he
failed. Well, I just knew it wasn't going to be very good.
I did tell you I didn't want to do it beforehand, but I was willing to.
Uh-huh.
So I guess that mindset, that attitude is probably not the one to go into it with.
No, you have to do it, though. Anytime that somebody's filling in for Blankers, somebody has to do the, hey, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? I think I just botched it. We've had a few hosts that have done it that have filled in for him. That was the worst.
No, it wasn't.
It was worse.
Paul's first one was terrible.
Yeah, but it's Paul.
What?
Paul does no wrong, especially in your eyes.
Yeah, but I'm the one saying it. That's how you know it was really bad.
Yeah, it wasn't great. B-Mac was telling me right before we went on how little producing work you did. So, like, you're in the chair over there.
Brendan,
you're in the host chair.
That.
Who said that?
I think Brendan said that himself.
I can't tell when it's producers that are talking.
I'm talent for the day.
Wow.
Talent for the day. Astros played baseball yesterday. They run-ruled the Phillies, 10-0. Justin Verlander made his final start of what is going to be a Cy Young regular season. He didn't give up a hit in the start. He matched a record, a Houston Astro franchise record, with 8 consecutive strikeouts.
Did you see it was his third time in 6 starts being pulled from a no-hitter?
Yeah, I did. That's insane.
I'm curious, because I'm not from here.
Mm-hmm.
Does Justin Verlander rank in the all-time, like, I'm not saying greats necessarily, but when you think of guys that people love here, does he rank in the all-time favorite Houston athletes?
You mean?
Does he make the list?
Like fan favorites?
Yeah.
I think he has to. You make the trade for Justin Verlander at the deadline of 2017, the August deadline of 2017. And then you go out, you win a World Series. Jose Altuve, who is a fan favorite, literally loves Justin Verlander. I think that some fans, though, kind of... I'm not going to say that there was disdain for Verlander or they didn't like Justin Verlander, but some people were rubbed a little bit the wrong way whenever he missed the entire 2021 season and then stayed away for the entire 2021 season. And then, you know, the rumors that were out there that he was going to throw out the first pitch and some of the players pushed back. So, like, there was a moment where Justin Verlander lost a little bit of popularity, lost a little bit of fanfare. But what he's done this season has gained that back and more. So I think Justin Verlander's in the conversation. I would probably say from, like, a fan favorite point of view, probably second tier, right? Like, he's not going to be on the Olajuwon level. I don't think he's going to be on the Killer Bee level, Bagwell, Biggio, Blank, Branham. I don't think he's going to be on the Jose Altuve level, maybe even Andre Johnson. So I think that even Verlander's his greatness, he's going to win 2 Cy Youngs for you. How many players in Houston have won 2 MVPs, 2 Cy Youngs, whatever the case may be, individual accolade, not many of them. I don't put Verlander on that top tier of fan favorites in Houston.
I think it's so... The reason I worded it the way I did, like, does he rank, is because I didn't even know if he was eligible.
Oh, okay.
He hasn't been here that long, and I think it's very difficult when you're a guy who's been here, what, 4 or 5 years, didn't play one of them. Like, I think it's very difficult when you're that player to go down as one of the all-time fan favorites. And I'm not saying impossible. And I think what you're saying makes sense. That he probably can't ever reach the first tier. I don't know. Maybe, you know, maybe this postseason and whether or not he comes back can affect that. I suspect it's going to be impossible for him to ever crack that first tier, but I don't know.
I think he's eligible. I think that he's eligible, right? Because like he's brought you the World Series. Individual accolade helps, and then team accolade helps as well. I think that the, like, why you're saying he's not eligible or why you're questioning why you're questioning if he's eligible is the, because he hasn't been here long,
right?
He's been here since 2017. He was injured really two of those years. So this is his sixth year in Houston, was injured two of them. It's really his fourth year pitching with the Houston Astros. I think that's what kind of disqualifies him from the top tier. So I think he's eligible for the conversation.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
You know, we can mention the name of Justin Verlander whenever we're talking about fan favorites in Houston, and interested what everybody else thinks as well. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776, the HRMP listener line. He's in the conversation. He's eligible. But I think that the duration is why he's not tier one.
So could he be eligible for tier one? Because the guys you named were pretty much all lifers, right?
Yes, they were. Yeah.
Johnson, Altuve, I think is the name. Names you listed.
It's going to be hard. Look, if Verlander's going to win the Cy Young. If he wins the Cy Young and again is the ace for a pitching staff that wins a World Series, and those are the only two World Series in franchise history, and the city hasn't seen tons of championships in the Big Three. They've seen two from the Rockets. They've seen one from the Astros. There's three all-time from the Big Three.
And it's been a long time outside of the Astros.
Yeah, and look at Olajuwon. Olajuwon's probably the most beloved figure in Houston.
It is so interesting to me, an outsider, the love for him.
Why is that?
Because... And maybe I'm reading the room wrong. And I think a lot of it has to do with where the teams have been recently. But I don't read this city as super into the Rockets.
Okay.
And it's just interesting when you're not super into a team that their best player is somebody who you rally around. And it makes sense because of the championships. Like, I'm not saying it's crazy. It's just interesting to me.
I think the city rallies around winners, though.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair.
It's all about when you came in. Because, I mean, obviously, Olajuwon retired in, what, 2000?
Yeah, somewhere
2001?
Around there.
And the Rockets really haven't, I mean, other than the Harden years, haven't really been at the title level for almost two decades.
But so you say that, like, how long were the Harden years? I know they never won anything.
It's a good amount of time. About a 3-4-year window.
Like, that's a nice little window. It is.
Sure.
Like, and they never won anything, but... You tell me if I'm wrong. If they won a championship, I don't believe Harden would be looked at the way Olajuwon was.
I think Harden was disliked in a lot of ways because of James Harden being disliked as a person.
Some of that's personality.
And that's fair.
Right. And Olajuwon, too, like, you drafted him, right? He was the first overall draft pick. Maybe that shouldn't come into the equation when you're comparing it to, like, James Harden. Because James Harden was, of course, you traded for him with the Oklahoma City Thunder, that trade there right before the start of the season. The two championships are the biggest things, but Olajuwon also went to college in Houston. He also was part of three Final Four teams at the University of Houston.
I don't think about that, but that is like really hard to overcome.
Like he is like you basically ushered him into life in America.
He came straight to Houston.
Yeah, and then goes to three straight Final Fours. You draft him with the number one overall pick. He turns into an MVP caliber player that wins two titles for your organization. Like he is Houston.
I don't think about his time in college because when he was in college, my parents were like in high school. but that is really fair. Anytime you watch a guy at the collegiate level plays for your team at the that's almost insurmountable. It almost means no matter what, I think Olajuwon's probably untoppable.
That's why I think that Olajuwon's at the top of the list. Now, there's other ones that you can also mention in the conversation. Like Jose Altuve, I think you can mention in the conversation. He's going to be the greatest Houston Astro baseball player of all time. And there's a decent chance he's never going to play for another organization. And even if he does, it's going to be like the Olajuwon playing for the Raptors, where it's going to come so late in his career that it's not going to matter a whole lot. You're still going to hold Olajuwon in high regard. It's the same thing with Andre Johnson. I mean, Andre Johnson was a Colt. He was a Titan. He spent a couple of, you know, a year or two away from the Texans, but he still held in high regard. Now, Andre Johnson never gave you the title, whereas Altuve did, whereas Andre, or as Hakeem did. I hold those two at the highest. Like, it's Hakeem Olajuwon, maybe a slight drop off for Jose Altuve. I think you can look at some of the football players, Andre Johnson, J.J. Watt, in that mold. And then Verlander, look, some people would push for James Harden. I wouldn't. But Verlander got you a title. Like, Verlander was part of that 17 team. So he is worthy of being in the conversation. The career he's had in Houston, the tenure, how long he's been here in terms of years and service, basically, if you want to use that term, I think is why he's not going to ever match up with the Altuves and the Hakeems of of the world.
Todd on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, says that another championship and Verlander does enter tier one.
Really?
Postseason, what do you say? If he wins all his games in the postseason. So there is a little bit of a qualifier there.
See, does that matter a whole lot? Because Verlander's never won a World Series game, right?
Like, I don't think him winning the games is important. I can buy that he needs to be an integral part of the postseason. Like, he needs to be going out there and pitching good games, whether or not they win them.
Yeah, he can't be putting up a five spot in the first. Like, if you go seven shutout innings and it's a nothing-nothing game when he leaves and, you know,
He can't be Peyton Manning in the Denver Broncos Super Bowl.
I don't know. Like, you might be able to get away with that. Like, if you're mediocre...
In casual fans' minds, probably.
Yeah, if you're mediocre and you still win it all, I think that you can still have that legendary status.
It is just so cool for me. Not that anybody cares. But being, from Detroit, coming down here and getting to watch him be better than he was in Detroit at this age.
It's interesting you say that.
I mean, he has been. I mean, the sport maybe has changed a little bit, but the numbers certainly tell you he's been better. And it's really cool getting to watch that. And I was just curious if you guys, put him in your list. And to me, it sounds like for the most part, you do. He's just not tier one, and I think that's totally fair.
Verlander?
Yeah, I think it's a fair place. I think that is a totally fair answer. Not that I should be judging the fairness of your answer.
What are you doing? How long have you been in Houston? Verlander's been in Houston longer than you have, right?
They're
coming here together?
Yeah.
They're on the same plane?
No. He beat me here by, I think, like a year and a half.
713-780-ESPN. Does Justin Verlander rank among all-time favorite Houston athletes? 713-780-3776. There's a baseball elitist in town, and we also need to have a Will Smith conversation. 713-780-3776. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. It's Brendan Riley filling in for Joel Blank. I'm Jeremy Branham. What is your Twitter handle? Is it at Brendan
Riley? It's at Brendan Riley underscore.
It is an underscore?
There is an underscore.
There's at Brendan underscore Riley or at
it's
Brendan
at
Riley?
Brendan Riley underscore.
I just thought it was at Brendan Riley.
Probably find me. The other guy has like 23 followers. I think I come up first.
I didn't even know that there was an underscore at the end. Shows what I know. It's Killer Beast on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Justin Verlander wrapping up what is going to be a Cy Young season yesterday, and he did it in style. 5 no-hit innings, struck out 10, struck out 8 in a row, which matches a franchise record. Verlander also had the fortitude, is that the right word for it, to say, you know what, I got a little bitty cut on my finger. I want to go ahead and take myself out of this game just so it doesn't amount to anything more.
Is that what happened?
That's what he said. That's what he said in the post game. He said there was a little bit of blood on the back of his hand.
I saw the blood. It seemed so set in stone that he was coming out after the fifth. Like,
well,
I'm talking that not maybe not from the start. I'm not talking about that. But like, he's walking off the mound. You get a hat tip in the fifth inning.
At that point,
it just felt obvious that point.
I think Verlander at that moment said Verlander was done. Because like even like the shot of like him
smeared the blood on his sock and become a legend.
He wouldn't have become
a legend. He could have thrown 300 pitches and no hitter. He wasn't becoming a legend in that game.
Yeah, not in that game. Now in playoffs, he went over to Dusty Baker and like. Dusty seemed a little bit surprised. And then it was funny after the game because Dusty was like, oh, yeah, he was on a pitch count. We wanted to get him out. And I was like, Dusty, I don't think you made that call. I think that was Justin Verlander that made that call.
I didn't really care. And I mean,
I didn't either.
We may get into this more. I would have liked to see him go one more just because if you're, I still think team no-hitters are cool. They're certainly not as cool, not even close. But anything extra you can get out of him sounds good to me.
Yeah.
But you can't complain about that in that spot.
Asking you the question, 713-780-ESPN, our HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Does JV rank amongst the all-time fan-favorite Houston athletes? Where does he come in? What does he have to do to climb that list? Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Chris, you're in the hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Chris?
Yeah, good afternoon, Bees. I was at the game last night, and Brendan, you're exactly right. When he tipped his hat in the fifth, I mean, we gave him a great standing ovation. I was on the third base side, but I could see the first base side. Everybody was standing up because, hey, who knows? This might be his last season here, his last regular season game. So, I think the fans showed him the love, and Justin knew he was coming out. So as a native Houstonian, I feel like I can talk on this topic about being on the Mount Rushmore of Houston athletes as far as Justin's concerned. I think that he right now is probably a tier two, but I think things can change, in my opinion. If he comes back for another year or two, you know, maybe gives the club a favorable contract so that, you know, we can re-sign him. You know, that would show his loyalty to the fan base and to the city. So if he comes back, he's awesome to watch. I mean, him and Roger, to me, are just one and two. I mean, he's just amazing to watch. Every time he pitches, I try to make the game. So, thanks, guys. Love the show.
Appreciate the call, Chris.
Jeremy, can I say, he deserved it because, I mean, it looked like for a minute he was going to strike out every single batter he faced. That has to be one of the funnier, like, the standing ovation he gets leaving the game in the fifth inning with, 76 pitches. There can't be many examples of that.
The ovation that he got?
Just, the guy's got 75 pitches in five innings. Like, those usually are reserved for games where guys are going at least six, seven. Not to say they've never happened.
Right.
And I'm not even saying it shouldn't have. He was incredible.
It was more
funny.
It was the appreciation of the final salvo. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't, maybe the last scene was very, very short and it was great, but just like
you're
for
right.
3-4 minutes.
It wasn't just for that game. The game was like a nice little cap on it, but it was for the season.
Chris's point about, you know, showing the loyalty to Houston, I think that's how he would climb the list of all-time fan favorites in the city of Houston.
And by the way, it sounds like that's the question I should have asked. It sounds like
what
he's
does he
on
have
the
to
list,
do?
but the question is, can he get to tier one? And what does it look like? Just from what I'm reading, that seems to be the sentiment.
Yeah. OG says, I think the fact that Verlander was already established is great and was traded for, I think he still feels like a rental. See, that's kind of an interesting perspective because we've had the conversation too, like, where does Verlander, what hat is he wearing when he goes into Cooperstown? I still think he has a long way to go to be wearing an Astro hat.
I don't.
You don't think he has a long way to go?
I mean, he thinks he's a little bit, but I don't think he is that long.
Well, there's a decent chance he's not an Astro next year.
Yeah, and that's basically what has to happen.
Is it fair to call it a coin flip chance that he's a Houston Astro next year?
50-50, 60-40? Maybe 60-40.
60-40 that he's back with the Houston Astros.
Yeah, he has to come back. I think he probably has to come back, but if he comes back even a couple more years, I think it's at least a coin flip that he is an Astro.
See, I think it's more a few more years and also has to sustain the level of greatness.
Sure.
Which, if you're entering your 40s, it's a little bit more difficult to sustain your level of greatness.
Nope. Justin Verlander's Tom Brady. I'm not doubting the man.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to doubt him right now. He's been unbelievable. I saw some stat that showed that he's like the first sub-180 ERA dude at the age of 39 since Cy Young. So, like, he's being mentioned in the names of Cy Young. Battery Chuck, top Houston legends. Nolan Ryan, that's a good one. Earl Campbell, another good one. Didn't win a championship, though. Dream and Altuve approaching him. Also mentioned George Foreman and Carl Lewis. See, those two are interesting because it's not the team aspect, right? Like, you, George Foreman, heavyweight champion of the world. Carl Lewis, one of the greatest Olympians of all time. It's more individual, right? Like, not doing it so much for the city. Like, yeah, you take pride and honor for seeing your local, you know, Houstonians win the heavyweight championship of the world, win a gold medal after gold medal. Simone Biles winning gold medal after gold medal. But to me, you almost need that team element.
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder if there's an age aspect there. Because I've never looked at an individual athlete from Detroit and been like,
really?
I can't think
Who
of
was
a single
it? Wasn't,
one.
Wasn't Frazier from Detroit?
When did he retire?
A long time ago.
I mean, I'm not saying people don't do that. I can't think of one. And maybe it's because there haven't been any. I honestly have no idea. Because I guess I'm just a team sports person. I don't really care about individual
See, I think
sports.
You do need the he actually, Smoking Joe Frazier was from Philly. I should have known that.
See, I didn't even know that. Yeah. That shows you how much I care about the individual sports.
Maybe thinking of Thomas Hearns.
Maybe it was. Maybe
I don't even know who that is.
Thomas you don't know who the hitman is?
No.
Man.
Hitman Hearns was from Detroit.
Okay. Maybe
I'm
that was
pretty
the
sure
one
that's what you're thinking of.
Didn't know he existed.
I thought it was a heavyweight for some reason, but whatever. 713-780-ESPN. Somebody said Mike Scott. I'm a little surprised by the name of Mike Scott on this list. Like, he had some years where he was great as a Houston
Astro.
I
mean, Nolan makes the list, obviously.
Yeah, I think Nolan would make the list. Now, I mean, I think you could have a conversation about Verlander and Ryan. Verlander's going to
win.
On the
field, but Nolan has, I mean, he's...
On the field, yes.
Right. I mean, Nolan here is more about just the icon that is sure. Nolan Ryan and the brand that is Nolan Ryan, more so than what he did on the field for the Astros.
And a native Texan.
Played
from
UT.
Alvin. Yeah. All of that weighs into, like, this equation about greatest Houstonians. But in terms of, like, production in an Astros uniform, JV gets the leg up on Nolan Ryan.
I think the point that was made of... he was great when he got here is a big part of it. I think people love watching their guys make it. Like, whether or not they came through your system, even if you traded for them and then they put it together, I think there's a different level of relation that fans have to athletes when they watched them before they were that guy.
Yeah, I think that goes into the Olajuwon thing and the Altuve thing. You're watching them grow up. They feel like yours. Olajuwon coming from, you know, Nigeria, and all of a sudden he's at U of H. You don't know what to expect, and then all of a sudden he's a focal piece and a big piece, pivotal piece of three straight Final Fours. Then he gets drafted number one. You watch him grow up. You watch him mature as a player. I think that's why Olajuwon's up there. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. So a little bit of a baseball elitist yesterday. I don't know where you stand on this, Brendan. How do you feel about those that kind of, you know, scoff at the casual fans, the fans that are just there to have a good time, that just want to watch a no-hitter?
I think that those of us who aren't casual fans forget how much more of those people exist.
I completely agree with that. There is 42,000 people at Minute Maid Park. I would say about 40,000 of them are I don't want to say casuals like in a derogatory term. It's just, I don't know that's the way it is.
Always the case. But, like, what the hell were you going to that game for yesterday, if not just to enjoy a baseball game?
Yeah, you're watching the greatness that is Justin Verlander. You want to see him. You want to see a really good team, and you want to have a good time.
You're not there because you're invested in it. Like, the game didn't matter. In any way, it literally meant nothing. Like, if you're going to that game, you're going as a casual fan.
Chandler Rome yesterday, the Astros had the no hitter going in the ninth inning. You might know if you've been living under a rock, you might not. But some people were booing the fact that Will Smith came into the game and promptly against a lefty gave up a hit to Garrett Stubbs, former Houston Astro. Shout out Garrett Stubbs. Chandler Rome tweeted some boos from the crowd after Will Smith surrenders three straight singles in the ninth of game 161 with a 10-0 lead. The Astros are 104-56 and have the American League's number one seed. Get a clue.
So, to be honest, my initial reaction was also frustration that Will Smith came into the game in the ninth of a no-hitter. And he certainly, like, he gives up hits. He's been a little bit better, like, numbers-wise than I had realized the last month or so.
Uh-huh.
But I get it. I think I'd have booed. I think I would have booed. Team no-hitters are not as special as player no-hitters. But it's a 162-game season. I know you're so close to finishing that race. I get that. And that's why, even though I would have liked to see Verlander go one more, I'm not going to complain about that.
That's not why he lost the no-hitter, though, going vertical.
No. But I'm saying, like, I'm using that as a way to show, like, I'm okay with making smart decisions for the team, but couldn't you have pitched somebody you felt better about getting one more inning?
In the ninth?
Yeah.
Or are you talking about Verlander going one more? Because I think the natural thing to do is
I'm okay with protecting Verlander.
Yeah.
I'm saying that you can make team smart decisions and still not start or play Will Smith in the ninth there, is what I'm saying.
The tweet, though, like, get a clue. Like, I think Chandler Rome needs to get a clue a little bit. You're flirting with a no-hitter. That's a special moment. Does it matter in the grand scheme of things?
I'm a little surprised.
No, it doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. A combined no-hitter, yeah, that matters. Like, Chandler Rome saying that, you know, telling fans to get a clue that wanted to watch a no-hitter, wanted to watch history, I find that to be silly.
I just think sometimes you scoff at the casual fan.
In what ways? What ways do I scoff at the casual?
I just think, like, you are very on the side of only worrying about what matters.
No, I care way more about team accolade than I do individual accolade. But Justin Verlander got pulled in the fifth inning. That wasn't an individual accolade. That was a team accolade that is there to, like, you could potentially throw a no-hitter in that game, and does it matter at all in your chances of winning a World Series? No, absolutely not. But do you give the fans a good time? Do you have a good night? Do you have the team that's in the clubhouse celebrating that moment? Yeah.
I guess,
Get a clue.
I guess. Let me ask this. Were you fine with Will Smith being the move there?
No.
That's what surprises me.
I'll tell you why on the other side. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Also involved with that, Will Smith on the playoff roster. Could you be okay with that after watching yesterday's outing for Will Smith and will likely be his final outing of the regular season? 713-780-ESPN. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Asking the question, where does Justin Verlander, where's he going to rank as the all-time fan favorite? Somebody mentioned Warren Moon. Look, I loved Warren Moon. He threw a beautiful football. He used to clip his fingernails on the sideline to throw beautiful football. I don't know if I'm putting Warren Moon anywhere on my top three tiers.
I have fan favorites. Never heard anybody bring him up.
In terms of all-time fan favorites?
I haven't.
No, I don't think he's on the list. Warren Moon, greatest NFL quarterback in the city of Houston? That's fair to say. He's a Hall of Famer. Jim Kelly, maybe the greatest professional quarterback in the city of Houston's history. Shout out Gamblers. A couple of other folks mentioning Roy Oswalt. Overall, I still appreciate Roy Oswalt over Justin Verlander as my favorite Astro pitcher. I loved Roy O. Loved Roy O. Never won a Cy Young. JV's about to get his second in Houston. Never won a World Series. Got there. Never won a World Series. Justin Verlander's about to do it. I can't put Roy O over Justin Verlander. I loved Roy O.
Championships, whether or not, like, regardless of what side of the aisle you're on when it comes to crediting individual players for championships, It is so hard to be on the list of favorites without one. It just, I think that that's across sports. I think it's those, the memories that you build on an actual championship team just surpass the teams who don't. Like, you just, it's not the same thing.
See, J.J. Watt, I think, comes close. And he's never given you that championship. But J.J. Watt did so much off the field.
Right. It's not just an on-the-field thing. I think that's very different.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Will Smith yesterday. Will Smith came in the ninth yesterday. Faced a couple of lefties back-to-back. That's his job. He's a lukey. He's a left-handed specialist. You're supposed to get lefties out. Back-to-back hits, break up the no-hitter. Caleb on the text line, 713-780-3776. Hunter Brown had a chance to be part of a no-hitter with his idol, and Smith just peed it away.
I didn't even put that together. That kind of would have been cool.
Yeah, well, he really looks up to Will Smith. He's a big fan of Will Smith and Hector Neris.
I mean, not that it was actually viable, but it would have been pretty cool if it was just a combined Verlander-Hunter Brown no-hitter.
Yeah, I thought for a second that they might let Hunter Brown do that, but they were kind of protecting, I think, Hunter Brown because he's going to be on the playoff roster. 713-780-ESPN. Chandler Rome said, get a clue, because some of the fans were booing Will Smith in the ninth because he gave up the no-hitter. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Bo, you're in the hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Bo?
Yeah, I was calling about that, Will Smith. The fans booing. I think Chandler Rome's completely off on this. I think the fans were booing Will Smith. If it was anybody else, when they gave up the hit, I think the fans would have stood up and applauded the effort of the rest of the pitching staff that got it that far. But I think Houston fans are just frustrated with Will Smith. And I know his record of late has been a little different, but when he got here, he wasn't what lefty specialist that we were told that was coming in. So I think the booing was towards him, and if there was anybody else, I think Astro fans would have applauded the effort.
Appreciate the call, Bo. I don't disagree with Bo.
Jeremy, you had a lot of arguments with Joel early in the season about how he didn't trust the bullpen, but the numbers were there.
Yeah, best bullpen ERA in all of baseball.
I will admit, I'm not super into baseball advanced stats. It's not that I don't think they're valuable. I just, they're a little nerdy for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just don't understand them. You're anti-information.
No, okay. I'm not anti-information. I'm acknowledging that I don't know what the advanced stats say on Will Smith. Do they say he sucks?
Will Smith?
Yeah.
He's not been good this year.
Okay.
He's not been good this year. Now, he's been serviceable against lefties.
Well, the reason I asked
last night, though,
is because do you know how good he's been by the traditional stats the last 15 games?
I mean, I don't know the last 15 games. Last I know 15 the last games, 24.
Last 15 games, he's had a 2.57 ERA.
Okay. Great for a reliever. I mean, it's not bad.
It's not?
It's okay for a reliever. It's good.
I think it's pretty good. I mean, okay. He's not like a high-leverage guy for you, right?
He's not supposed to be.
I mean, if he's a high-leverage guy, then okay, I'll hear you out. He's not. He's just an arm in the bullpen who exists. He's a lefty. 16 strikeouts in 14 innings and a whip of one.
Okay.
Maybe the advanced stats tell me that he sucks. I don't know. I can't read them.
Not solid.
But
not solid.
But
I would look at those numbers and say he's been a solid contributor. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
I have the same perception of Will Smith as everybody else does. I was frustrated that he came in for that game when you're trying to finish a no-hitter. I don't know if the numbers fully back me. He gives up more hits than runs, so you could argue that he's not the guy to pitch in a no-hitter.
Well, I think that Dusty's looking at that spot, and you see back-to-back lefties, so it's a moment to get a lefty against back-to-back lefties, which is my fear when the playoffs come around, and I think kind of segues into the conversation of, like, do you want Will Smith on this playoff roster? Because I've been, like, I know Will Smith has been better since coming to Houston, since you traded Jake Odorizzi wisely. I still think it was a good trade. He's been better since he's come over to the Houston Astros.
Would we even be debating if Odorizzi should be on the playoff roster? Because I don't think so.
No.
So, therefore, you know, on top of the contract stuff, better trade.
But even aside, yeah, the contract stuff's why you did it, though. Like, if Jake Odorizzi never pitched in a game for the Braves and Will Smith never pitched in a game for the Astros, on you the already. Field, you get it's a wash. But it's a win because of the finances. So, like, that's the reason that the Astros made the trade. And then you have the risk reward of Will Smith. There's no risk to acquire Will Smith, just a couple of bucks this year, and the reward is that he can somehow, you know, morph into the pitcher he was last year in the playoffs.
Anyways, I didn't want to derail you. Uh-huh. You're concerned with him on the playoffs.
Oh, he's not very good. Like, I just don't trust him to get somebody out. And like my fear too is like Dusty Baker wants a lefty because he wants a lefty to combat a lefty, right? Which, previous to the three-batter minimum, I understand the logic. But I don't trust Will Smith to get three consecutive hitters in a row, even if they're all lefties. And yesterday was an example of this. Look, Will Smith didn't give up a run yesterday. Like, he preserved the shutout. But back-to-back lefties, this is why Dusty Baker would be selling James Click in the front office and all of the other people involved in this decision. He's going to be selling Will Smith to all of them, saying, I need a guy who can get lefties out. One, that's flawed logic in today's baseball, because how often are you going to face three lefties in a row? You might have a situation where you can bring in Will Smith to face one lefty trying to get the last out, but what if he doesn't get out that one lefty? Now you have a righty standing on deck. Look, I always talk about this. I very much am a believer in the keep it simple, stupid mantra. Like, keep it simple, stupid. Who do you trust more to get an out, or who do you trust more to get three hitters out in a playoff game? Is it Will Smith? Or is it Jose Urquidy?
Is that the whole discussion?
About keeping Will Smith off?
Yeah.
Because
I have a hard time choosing Will Smith over Urquidy. But I also don't have an issue with Will Smith being on the roster the way you do. I think your issue with Will Smith being on the roster is less Will Smith being on the roster and more not trusting Dusty with Will Smith on the roster.
No, that's absolutely fair. That's absolutely fair. Because I can envision a situation where you have a 2-1 lead in a game four. Who cares what game it is? They're all important. And Dusty Baker, instead of going with one of his horses, one of his, you know, high leverage guys, is bringing in Will Smith because the other team's leading off that inning with a lefty, regardless of the next two hitters being, you know, slugging righties that crush lefties.
My answer on Will Smith versus Urquidy would be, I don't really want to use either of them in high leverage situations. There is an extra utility option available with Urquidy that there's not with Will Smith, right? Not that you anticipate needing it often with Garcia, but if you need him to go a couple, you know, you need to relieve the pen a little bit more, you have the option.
Uh-huh.
There is a part of me that does look at what Will Smith has been the last 15 games, that knows what the Astros have done time and time again with struggling pitchers, and says, he was really damn good in the postseason last year.
Sure, he was.
A part of me wants him on the roster. You don't use him in high leverage situations. You see what he's got. And if, you know, he's just a guy who excels in meaningful situations, because I think that's the thing. I think some people step up when the lights are brighter. Then maybe you start to lean on him more and more as the playoffs go.
You could also mention that with Urquidy, though, because he's got World Series wins.
Sure.
So like, you can say the light's brighter argument, but it also exists for Jose Urquidy. Like, I would ask you what role you're using Will Smith in. Like, if it's
that's a problem.
And look, like, it's Will Smith, Jose Urquidy. You can make the case that neither one of them should get innings in an ALDS. Some people would make the case that they're going to keep 14 position players, and Jose Urquidy and Will Smith could be off of at least the ALDS roster. Both of them won't be off of the ALCS roster. But like, if it comes down, like, I go down to just the simple, who do I trust more to get three outs? To me, it's Jose Urquidy. I don't even care if they're lefties. I trust Jose Urquidy more to get hitters out than Will Smith. And if I'm having a roster spot for a pitcher and the decision's between those two guys, to me, it's an automatic. I think Will Smith sealed his fate yesterday. Garrett Stubbs, Bryce Harper, lefty-lefty, base hit, don't want to see in the playoffs.
I think, to me, it feels, and maybe you disagree, a little bit like a low-stakes debate. I don't think I'm going to be on the table for either option.
Mm-hmm.
I think Urquidy feels like the safer option.
Yeah, I see what you're saying about, like, give him a shot, see if he can mature back in or like morph back into what he was last year. Like, I just don't know how you're giving him the innings to try to prove that to you. He was supposed to be trying to prove that to you down the stretch.
I think that's a totally fair problem because I don't want to give him high leverage opportunities to prove to you that he's capable.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not in a situation where you're going to have to, right? Like, if you're doing it, you're doing it at the expense of a guy you know you trust. And I don't know. I think it's like, it's almost wishful thinking. I would like to give Will Smith the chance to be on the playoff roster and prove to you that he can be a reliable lefty arm who's been shut down before. But I don't know when you're going to let him prove it. I think that's a fair concern.
And you're right about the fears of him being on this roster and having Dusty managing it too. Cause I could totally see a scenario where if Will Smith makes the roster, Dusty's just so tempted. He sees lefty lefty at the top that he brings in Will Smith and doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. 713-780-ESPN. Where do you stand on the Will Smith conversation? 713-780-3776. How about the Nick Caserio conversation, too? What is the leash? What is the window for Nick Caserio? People are telling us we're making excuses for the guy. Well, how short should the leash be? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Razor-sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Oh, Rockets G on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. Brendan Riley filling in for Joel Blank today. Joel spending some time with some family. I know he's missing me very, very much. He can confirm that later. But Oh, Rockets G saying, bring your son to work day. I take offense to this.
I was going
to
ask you.
I take offense to this.
You are not nearly old enough to be my father. Not even close.
I mean, there's a lot of reasons why you couldn't be my boy.
I'm
just saying.
Why?
I mean, we don't look alike. Our hair color's different.
You don't have to look the same as your parents.
It's usually a gene that carries over.
I don't know. Either way, you're way too young. That to me was calling you quite old. My dad's probably got close to 20 years on.
See, I thought it was actually offensive to you.
Why?
Because, you know, you look very young, but I didn't realize it was a
shot. I thought it was
me.
Funny. I thought it was funny.
How old are you?
29.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, we're much closer to brother age than parent age.
I would have had to have you very young.
Yeah.
I would have had to have you very young. 713-780-ESPN. We'll get to the Nick Caserio conversation in just a moment, but Troy wants to get in here and chat a little bit about Will Smith. 713-780-3776. Troy, where do you stand on the Will Smith conversation?
What's going on, guys? Hey, I don't think there's an Astros fan or Astro player that really thinks he can go get you three solid outs when you got to have them. It's a no-brainer. There's our TD all the way. I'll hang up and listen, guys.
Appreciate the call, Troy.
Look, I think the team, the players have faith in him.
And Will Smith?
Yeah, I think so. I certainly agree with him that Astros fans don't.
If you're in center field and you're, did you hear Dusty Baker's reason why he wanted Chaz McCormick in center field?
He wanted
Justin
him to
Verlander?
See how the ball came off of Verlander. Hits.
Yeah, he wanted to see how the ball came off the bat when Verlander's on the mound.
It's a good thing you waited till now.
It is also the silliest logic I've ever heard.
It is pretty silly. I don't know. It's silly but harmless is what I would say.
Yeah, it is.
Is it really sillier than like him having a personal center fielder to begin with?
It's equally silly.
Because I've never heard of that. I've never heard of someone having a personal center fielder.
I haven't either. Like, Dusty's logic is ridiculous sometimes. He was talking yesterday in the post game, and if you were producing today, Brendan, you would have cut this up and had it for us. But he talked about the strikeouts, and he was talking about the Phillies lineup, and he goes, there's like five or six guys in this lineup who have double-digit home runs that I've never heard of. How are you a manager in baseball or a head coach of any sport, and you don't know the other team?
I'm just going to be honest. If he's not your guy, he's so lovable.
Like, what? Are
if he's your guy, he's infuriating. But if he's not your guy, Dusty is so lovable.
And even if you don't know them before the series, you do a pre-series meeting learning the personnel. Like, this is the second day you've played.
Dusty also recognizing the regular season doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah. He didn't know who Shane McClanahan was either.
He'll know who all the playoff pitchers are.
He didn't know Shane McClanahan. He saw him in the playoffs.
Very forgetful guy.
Man, oh, me and Dusty are on good terms, though. Me and Dusty are on good terms, especially if Will Smith's not on the roster. 5180, if you're concerned about Dusty bringing in Will Smith because he sees two lefties coming up, when else would you expect Dusty to use him? That's what I'm saying.
Never.
That's what
answer.
I'm saying. I don't want him to be eligible to pitch. Keep him off of the roster. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. All right, we talked a little bit about Lovie Smith this week because the Texans are off to just this rip-roaring start where they haven't lost every game. They haven't lost every game so far through four. They're 0-3-1, which is a hot start. Hot start for the Texans. But a lot, we've been critical of Lovie Smith. I have, especially. You know, he's a defensive-minded coach. He's calling your defensive plays for the second year in a row. Last year, they were the second-worst defense in the NFL. This year, yards per game, they're bottom four in the NFL. Not a great look for your defensive play caller, who also happens to be your head coach. Hasn't had a winning record in a decade. We know the story. But people are saying, well, why not have that same energy for Nick Caserio? Why are you making excuses for Nick Caserio, which I don't think that we do. But the big C yesterday on our Twitch, how many more seasons will Caserio be here if the roster does not improve? What is the leash? What is the window for the Texans general manager?
So it's a little bit tougher with him because of the fact that his first year they had so little to work with. But by the way, I also like what Nick Caserio has done so far. I think highway robbery for the Deshaun Watson trade.
See, I always push back at that. Like, people give Caserio points for the Deshaun Watson trade.
He deserves points. The timing matters. There were times where he was not going to get anywhere near what he got. He was patient. He waited for the right moment and struck while the pricing of Watson was at what I think his peak was.
The timing's fine because, like, you didn't want to do it at the deadline. You probably couldn't have done it prior to last year.
There were even moments in this offseason where, as more reports were coming out,
right,
we had the discussions, if you were trying to make the trade now, what would you get? And the answer was less.
So, he held on just long enough, but also did it soon enough.
And I think that's incredibly valuable. I really do.
He sandwiched the timing, which, okay, like I'll listen to that. I can concede that. The other part of that, though, is like you had multiple teams trying to trade for him. Like,
sure,
you didn't put a little like magics in it, like on this whole trade, and all of a sudden you conned somebody and convinced somebody to take in Deshaun Watson. There was four teams offering three first rounders for Deshaun Watson.
Okay.
How many flowers can we give Caserio for getting that?
Maybe highway robbery was not the right way to put it, but I think the patience, but also the urgency, which makes no sense to say, but when you look over the course of the whole situation, I think it's very impressive. I think he deserves a lot of credit for that.
You had to sandwich it between the right dates. I agree with that. I think the timing's good.
I also think, you know, there's some early flashes from this draft that are exciting. I think Petrie is exciting to watch. Pierce is exciting to watch. I do think that at times this show maybe gives him a little more credit than I do. Nobody that he's drafted yet that I look at and go, this guy is currently a star or a difference maker. Like, we know this guy is going to be the reason you're winning football games one day.
Okay.
And that's okay. It's early. I don't need that out of him yet. I'm just still kind of in wait and see, even though as a whole I like what he's done. I think starting next season, expectations need to ramp up dramatically. Like, if you're not playing meaningful games late in the season next year, I think that's a problem. You have a bunch of resources. The draft picks from this year should start to step in more meaningful roles. You'll have, multiple first-round picks this year. You have all sorts of money to play with. You need to start focusing on winning next season. You don't need to make the playoffs. I don't even necessarily need you in a playoff race down to week 17, week 18. But, like, if they're not in the playoff chase as you're entering late November, I'm going to be a little bit – I would say the seat's warm. Beyond 2 years, that's it. You need to be talking about the playoffs 2 years from now.
I think he's going to get the long leash. I look at this year as year one, though. Like, to me,
it's year one and a half, in my opinion.
See, it's hard to give me the half because he didn't have a first or second rounder.
Well, he used a third rounder. Look, I'm not saying I have a problem with using a third rounder on a quarterback, but he chose to do that.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing. But what's wrong with it is it didn't work out. Third round picks are still supposed to be starters.
He's a starter.
Is he going to be a starter next year?
I don't think so.
Third round picks, and look, you're allowed misses because nobody drafts perfect in the NFL draft. But I don't think you just get to like write off the existence of a third round pick.
Third round pick should start for you. And Davis Mills, technically a starter. Is he a starter for this franchise for 4 years, which is the life of his rookie contract? No, I don't think so. I don't mind taking quarterbacks in the third round. Like he got,
no, I don't
he,
either.
He got criticized a lot for reaching on a quarterback because Deshaun Watson was demanding a trade. I don't think selecting Davis Mills had anything to do with the Deshaun Watson situation. I just felt like he's going to be a dude that's going to draft quarterbacks. We saw it with New England. New England did that for years, and they had Tom Brady. I think that Caserio, like, one of the things you're talking to is about how long should the leash be. Cal McNair is also going to give him a longer leash than we think he should.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Like, there's a lot of people saying he shouldn't get the chance to hire a third head coach.
And I don't even agree with that, although I think it does shorten the leash as a whole when you are basically setting yourself up to need a third head coach.
I would, normal situations, I would say that a general manager should not get a third head coach if you're not a winning organization.
Yes.
The way that David Culley came about, I think that was a sacrificial lamb from the very beginning. I don't think they wanted to fire him after a year, but they knew he wasn't the long-term dude. They didn't want Lovie Smith. Lovie Smith was being forced onto them. I don't know how they ended up with Lovie Smith. I know why, but I don't know like who was the one behind the scenes pulling the strings to make sure that Lovie Smith was going to be the head coach of the Houston Texans. The coaching hires have been a debacle for Nick Caserio. Like, there is no ifs, ands, or buts about that. Now, you can make the case that there were some higher powers that were involved, but Nick Caserio still has to answer for them at press conferences. He's still saying that he's the one that hired them as the head coach. The player evaluation is something that we give him points for. We say, okay, we like what Nick Caserio's done in the draft. We had a texter yesterday. How do we know Caserio is a good talent evaluator? I would say because we've seen this draft class perform well out of the gates. You can make a case the 2021 draft class really wasn't all that great. You mentioned Davis Mills isn't going to be the long-term starter for this team. Third-rounders should be starters. Nico Collins has shown flashes, but Nico Collins, I'm not sure he's going to be a top-three receiver on this team next year. If you get John Metchie and you're drafting a receiver with one of these first-round picks, Nico Collins probably isn't one of your top-three receivers next year.
It is so hard for me to like be in or out on him.
On Nico?
Yeah, because of Davis Mills and how bad he's looked this year.
I don't disagree with that. But then the rest of the draft class, like, you didn't hit on anybody. Roy Lopez looks like a nice bit player. They like Garrett Wallow. Like, that's not a hit, really. 2022 is where I think you could look at Caserio and say, you hit on some of these
so
picks.
Far.
Although there's some questions about drafting a corner at number 3. There's some questions about drafting a guard after trading down at number 15. Jalen Petrie has looked good, although he's coming off his worst game that he has played and actually was pretty bad. In the Charger game. They exposed him a bit in that Charger game. So, like, you could... The story's not done with Caserio. Like, the player evaluation, I think he's a good player evaluator. I can't tell you that for sure. And then free agents, like, people give him flowers for Jerry Hughes. Like, great, that's fantastic. How about Marlon Mack? Like, we talk about this running back room and why it's so bad. It's because Marlon Mack was a failure.
Good stab to take, though.
But you should have at least a running back room that Rex Burkhead isn't your primary backup.
Like, I loosely agree.
This running back room is an embarrassment.
Yeah, but
this running back room should not be as bad as it is.
I didn't want them to use a day one or two pick on a running back. So could they have gone out and got another free agent? Sure.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America. Discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.